You're listening to a special edition of Away with Words, the show about language and how we use it. I'm Grant Barrett.
And I'm Martha Barnett. Today we're looking back at some of our favorite conversations about cats and dogs, and a few other animals besides. Cats and dogs prowl around inside some interesting English words. For example, the adjective chatoyant. That's C-H-A-T-O-Y-A-N-T. It describes something that's shimmering like a cat's eyes, like you might talk about a chatoyant gemstone. And chatoyant comes from the French word for cat.
And don't forget about sleuth. You and I do a lot of sleuthing. Mm-hmm. And sleuth is a shortening of the word sleuthhound. In the 15th century, the name sleuthhound applied to a bloodhound with a strong sense of smell. But it wasn't until the 19th century that sleuth came to apply to a private investigator instead of to the dog.
And then there are all those funny words that our own pets inspire. Emily called from San Diego to talk about one of them, the word blep.
Blep.
Bleps are the internet name for when a cat, usually it kind of counts with dogs, they do it all the time, leaves their tongue out, and it's just kind of the like comic book caption for this expression or action of theirs.
Blep.
B-L-E-P, right?
A blep.
Yeah.
B-L-E-P. And mm-hmm. It's kind of in the same family. The more like commonly known one is a boop. Whether you touch an animal's nose and you go boop, or they touch something else with their nose, I feel like that has started.
Yeah.
I've seen it more in the real world. You know, booping.
Yeah, you boop a snoot.
Yeah, it's not that it makes the sound boop, but it's kind of the action itself. And so blep is the name for the tongue being left out. If you Google these things, you'll see them all kind of associated.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, are these onomatopoeias? Is that what they would count as?
Some of them, maybe. Sure. Certainly the mlem, M-L-E-M, when they do kind of a gentle licking, right?
Yeah, mlem. The licking, the mleming, that's the third trio of these siblings of animals.
Like if a cat has food on his whiskers and he does the little gentle lick to get off, that's a mleming.
How are you spelling that? M-L-E-M?
M-L-E-M, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Like, I usually see it in writing.
Mlem, mlem, and then blep. I love those. All those, yeah. In my house, we agree that all dog snoots must be booped. If they'll let you boop them,
booping.
You have to boop a snoot.
The boop. So, like, how long before these are in the dictionary? Like, what's the barrier to cross over?
I don't think it'll be long in the scheme of language, maybe 10 years or so if they last. I first noticed this kind of cutesy language becoming a little more regularized. I mean, because let's face it, we all have cutesy language with our animals. We have all these words that we use in the house for our relationships with our pets. And sometimes we have our, you know, some pets and some houses have like 10 or 15 nicknames and they're all kind of cutesy fun and that sort of thing. But the regularization of this kind of language first came to my attention, for what it's worth, in 2005 with the Cute Overload website. Do you remember this website?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love that website.
It's still up, but they stopped posting new content a couple of years ago, and it's cute animals, and they had all kinds of language. One of my favorite was the talking about tox, the short for buttocks. So the tox of a little animal. It's cute little fuzzy behind, right? And I think that's where I first learned toe beans for the little pink.
Oh, the beans.
Yeah.
The bottoms of little cats' feet.
Yeah, and if you go to the Cute Overload website, they still have a glossary there that has a lot of this really adorable language, like all the different ways you can go, aw, and spell it. So all these different spelling, like A-H-N, for example. There's another vector that other people have discovered, and I think they're right, as a source of really, really popularizing this language. And that vector is the Dog Spotting Facebook group. And so there's something like 800,000 members to this group. And basically what they do is post pictures of animals that they've come across or had an interaction with or their own pets. And a lot of the language is just adorable. And then the other vector is the We Rate Dogs Twitter feed.
Oh, yeah.
Where every dog is rated on a scale of 1 to 10. And they're always like 13 out of 10 would pets. And 12 out of 10 is super adorable.
Emily, you sound like you go to all these websites.
Yeah, these are all pretty classic internet spaces. It's funny, because it feels like everyone kind of came to these same conclusions, like, independently. Like, the amount of people I know who call their pets bean, which I think probably did come from the little toe beans, it's all part of the same, you know, colloquial phrase for a cute little thing as a bean, and, you know, the booping and the mleming and the blepping. Like, I saw it from so many different corners of the internet, kind of, like, independently gaining traction in all these different types of people. they just seem right.
Yeah, it's sort of like the internet is the dog park for people with cats, right?
Well, it's not just cats. It's dogs and birds, burbs, not birds, but burbs, yeah. Dogs and burbs and squirbs, that's squirrels in my house, and any cute animal, really.
And Grant, we didn't even talk about doggos and puppers and pupperinos.
And fluffers and floofs and woofers and boofers and blops. I like blops. That's just a little blep.
Just a little blep. And splooting. That's when your dog or cat lies on its tummy with its limbs outstretched. Or maybe a squirrel. It splutes. We've also talked about the many terms in the Dictionary of American Regional English that involve cats. Remember when I asked if you knew what cat beer is?
Cat beer?
Cat beer.
Like beer for cats. No, I don't remember that. Remind me?
Well, here's what you said.
What's cat beer?
Cat beer is a term that you hear in the North, at least in Minnesota and in Vermont, that means milk.
Oh, how about that?
Cat beer.
Cat beer.
Yeah. What about cat hair?
It's not the cat hair, cat hair. It's something else.
No.
Would this be... I don't know. Cat hair.
Like you might say of somebody, oh, he's certainly got the cat hair.
Whiskers on your face from not shaving? I don't know.
Money.
That's money? I don't.
They had citations from Oklahoma and Ohio.
Cat hair. To have the cat hairs to have money. Okay.
Yeah. How about that?
Sure.
And one more. Cat face.
Oh, sure. I know that one. We have terms for that. We have citations for that on our website.
Oh, okay.
So these are fruits, vegetables, especially tomatoes, where they kind of grow with some weird splits in the side, like the way the cat's mouth is shaped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or the way that a tomato looks when you pull it off the vine, you know, that part where it connected to the vine.
Well, it looks like the triangular shape of a cat's face.
Yeah. There are actually a couple of other definitions for cat face. One is a scar or knot on a tree.
Oh, yeah.
But the one that I really like is the one that's used largely in the African-American community in the South. And it means a wrinkle or pucker in clothing when ironed too dry.
Oh.
In fact, Maya Angelou wrote in I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, I had to iron 7 starched shirts and not leave a cat's face anywhere.
Oh, how about that?
There's much more to say about animals and language. But first, we need your help. We're asking you to take a moment to show your support for this station.
Chip in to help this station keep bringing you voices that give you fresh perspectives every time you tune in.
Call now with your support. Here's the number.